Text line, we need your help. Is Fresca still a beverage that you can purchase? I thought it was.
I thought they took it away.
I know. I thought there was a seltzer version of it, which if that's the case, Bob, we might be in some trouble this summer.
You mean like an alcoholic seltzer?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Really? Good for Fresca if they're doing that. Refreshing citrus beverage.
It is. I like that and squirt.
One of my old professors in college, Tom Hedrick, one of my mentors, always used to order a Fresca. He would take us to lunch, and I'll have a Fresca. Mm. They don't serve that, Tom. Like,
they still serve Zima?
No.
No.
Smirnoff Ice?
Yeah.
They still have Smirnoff Ice? Yeah. Did you guys do, were you too young to get iced?
Get iced? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's too much at times.
it was ridiculous.
You got iced. Do you remember that? Let's say I have like a cooler. I'd be like, hey, can you hold on to that for me real quick? And you grab the cooler.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you got iced. You have to open up. There'd be a Smirnoff Ice in it. You have to get on a knee and chug the entire thing.
Mm. Yeah.
So, of course, 314. 100% goodbye, Fresca. Did it yesterday.
All right, great. Perfect.
Hey, there you go.
Put that on the Casey's
app. Yeah.
I'm craving a peach Fresca. They have peach Fresca?
Peach, no.
Whoa.
They got a peach Fresca?
That.
I'm going to Hy-Vee after this,
dude. Fresca for the day, man.
Somebody says, Fresca's still available. My wife drinks them all the time, and yes, the seltzer is delicious.
Okay.
Yes, it's available at Hy-Vee.
All right, perfect.
Guess where Bob's going after this? Peach Fresca, good God.
That does sound really good. Peach Fresca and vodka?
Dusty is in a relationship on Facebook with Peach Fresca. Let's get into Start
Facebook Bitch Official.
Fish. Yeah, that's right.
It's a fish. Here's Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start Bench Cut.
That's right. It's brought to you by our friends over at Jay Southland Tow. Get in the know with Jay Southland Tow. Text line 913-586-7965. Also, Chase Southland Tow Service text line, as well as this segment, Start Bench Cut. Let's get off to a start, which we can obviously get to right out of the chute. Extreme cold, like today. Extreme heat, like you'll get in August, where it's like today's heat index is 110. Or the 3 to 4 days in the spring where it just rains every day and it's gray and cloudy.
All right, so I'm gonna go right in that order, though.
You're gonna start this?
Yeah. Oh. Because, like, you know, every game we've gone to over the last couple of weeks, Ralph and I will look at each other and go, would you rather have this or would you rather have the Billy Joel Stevie Nicks concert? And we look at each other and go, give us this every day of the week. That Billy Joel Stevie Nicks concert was... I mean, I'm still, like, verklempt from it. Like, it was awful. Awful weather. Great concert, but it was just so...
You were distracted by it just being gummy.
You were. Yeah. I mean, it was bad. People were dropping like flies. That heat is awful. So, I'll start the extreme cold. I'll bench the heat and get rid of the 3 to 4 days of rain.
I hate it. The entire, like, next week, too.
It's horrible. Yep.
Yeah. Everything's slushy and gushy.
Allergies.
Yeah. Allergies kick in. Yes. So, get rid of the rain, man. Awful. I'm not a rain guy.
Max?
Yeah, same. Don't. No.
What'd you say,
no,
Max?
Absolutely not. Nope. Not doing that.
Yeah.
I control the mics. I will not do that. Absolutely not.
No, someone called him Max on the text line.
It could have been a typo.
It could have been.
You know, speak because Siri's useless.
Yeah, Max and Matt don't like that.
Siri's is about effective as Russo complaining about Caitlin Clark.
Can I get a name on the order? Yeah, it's Mac. Okay, Max, go ahead. All right. Screw it.
Not correcting that. You guys? I will.
Yeah.
Same as you, Bob.
Right. Okay.
Cold, heat, then rain.
See, I start the extreme heat. I cut 3-4 days of rain, and I'll bench the cold.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, there's some sort of enjoyment to me where it's like, I can't physically go do something, so I'm just going to throw an extra blanket on the couch, relax, and watch Ace Ventura for like the 17th time.
I'll tell you what, this cold weather, and it's only getting better.
Yeah,
right?
You can't work out in this.
Well, you can go inside and you still get it, or you can bundle up and go outside. Emily's walking outside 6-7 miles a day. So, you know,
that's tough. That's on the
lungs. Yeah, no, I mean, so she getting it done. Also moving to Indiana, I heard. But anyway, I kid.
I was like, what?
No.
I was like, no. She would have told me.
Where was I going with this? You said something
about the weather
working out.
I'm telling you, man, and Saturday's like the coup de grace of all this. The night sky in the wintertime I've just now experienced recently. It, like all the planets, man.
Saturday night, they line up.
They line up on Saturday night. You go out there with
Star app
and start looking at all of these planets in the sky. My God, it's gorgeous.
It's not January. It's January.
It's January. That's right. Turning 50 on Saturday.
Woo.
That's crazy. Turning 50, all the planets will line up.
Right?
You thought Tuesday was electric.
She says, I told you that a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, I don't remember that.
Does she know that Bob Uecker passed away?
She does. Yeah. She just told me last night.
All right. Start, bench, cut. Playoff football, playoff baseball, March Madness.
That's a tough one.
Thank you.
That is a tough one. I guess I'm going to start playoff football, bench baseball, and cut March Madness.
We already know where he's going.
Yeah, but I like baseball. You could start, like, when your team's in the postseason. It's awesome
until you play the damn Yankees.
Yeah, football, March Madness, then playoff baseball.
Okay.
Yep.
We move on to the food portion: pot pie, shepherd's pie, deep dish pie.
I'm going to go right in that order too. I'm going to start the pot pie. I'm going to bench shepherd's pie, and I'm going to get, like, I haven't had deep dish pie since New Year's Eve 2021 when we were up in Chicago. I don't know that I'll ever have that deep dish pie again.
Sarpino's has a good one.
Shepherd's pie.
It's meat with mashed potatoes on top.
Yeah,
and then a little sprinkle of cheese.
Yeah, maybe I just haven't had a good enough one. I'm going to cut that. I'm going to go deep dish, bench, pot pie, start.
I love a shepherd's pie. Pot pies are great.
Have you ever eaten a pot pie in Westport?
Nope.
It's been there for about 25 years. I haven't been since I dated a girl in 04. And I keep telling them, I want to go back. It's really good. It's been 26 years. Or
why do you want to go back, Bob?
Yeah,
what are some memories there?
Seriously. I believe it's like one of those places, like every day it's a different pot pie. So you don't know if you're going to get like seafood or chicken or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Mac, whenever you come to Lee's Summit, I'll take you to 3rd Street Social. Fantastic pot pie.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. All right, we move on to sites for the Super Bowl since we're getting closer and closer. New Orleans, Vegas, Miami.
Miami, New Orleans, Vegas.
I would go in the opposite order. I would go Vegas, New Orleans, Miami. Because Miami, there's always that opportunity. There's always that chance that it might, like, pour rain.
Whereas, for, like, Vegas, 10 seconds.
Vegas, to me, seems like they just – Danon said this the other day. I think Vegas should just be the home of the Super Bowl. The Raiders are never going to play there, so you never have to worry about a home game.
That's fair.
And what causes more tourism than anything in the United States in Vegas? Mm-hmm. Like, football, Super Bowl, gambling.
Vegas is probably football. Like, we don't really need that here. You know,
true,
like if you're Las Vegas, you're like, I think of all the Super Bowls I've been to, New Orleans does an amazing job. Like, they do great jobs hosting Super Bowls and Final Fours. Unbelievable job. It's a small, manageable city. Mm-hmm. But Miami has the beach, and for me, I like that. And I got a friend that owns a restaurant down there. So, you know, those things do factor in. And that's where we won our first Super Bowl. So give me Miami. I know Super Bowl IV was in New Orleans. I'm talking about one that anybody can remember.
I honestly don't know. I haven't been in any of these places. New Orleans for one night when I was like 10. So I'm going to start NOLA, bench Vegas, and cut Miami, but I don't feel good about it.
Yeah. A lot of people letting us know that Fresca is still around. that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Pot pie in Westport is so good.
It is, yeah. And it's been like, it's a little tiny hole in the wall, and it's been there 20-some years. It's great.
It's funny that Bryson's on the text line because he's going to love his start, bench, cut. We have a little bit later on. Here's another one for you. Better ball for a sport. Better ball. Start, bench, cut. The football, the baseball, or the basketball?
I'm going to start the baseball because you can do more with it. Like, doctor it up, put snot on the ball, all that kind of stuff.
Good. Have you ever caught a foul ball? There's like some sort of smell with the baseball. I mean, I'll sniff it. Yeah. I'll get it right.
It does. Baseball,
I don't know what
does.
It is. Yeah. It's like that rub they put on. I sniff the hell out of a baseball.
It's good. So I'll start that. I'll bench the football, and I have no interest in the basketball. So.
The old Baden ball back in the day with like a little grip on it. I loved the basketball. Especially like the basketball got a little wet. You got that extra grip.
Oh,
you
yeah.
got more rotation on it.
You did get a little
it.
Bit rotation on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Start, bench, cut. Veach, Reed, Mahomes.
And I'm going to go to the bathroom now.
That's a tough one.
There's no answer for that one. It's start them all.
And Bryson,
if I have to cut any of them, then to contract the franchise.
Bryson, this one's for you because you had a similar one on the text line. For the next person to actually have a shot at taking down the throne of Mahomes, start, bench, cut, Lamar, Allen, or Daniels?
Starting Allen, benching Daniels, cutting Lamar.
Yep, that's the only correct answer to me. Agreed.
Fair Lamar's point. Had his opportunities,
yep.
hasn't done it. Allen's been close. He's got an opportunity. That if Allen doesn't do it this week, I'll cut his ass too.
If your daddy wasn't such a, what do you say in Varsity Blues? If your daddy didn't work his ass off, I'd cut your ass. He was a no-talented whatever, but at least he listened. Coming up on the other side, this draft class and Brett Veach is the reason why people hate the Chiefs. I'll explain that on the other side. Here on Fesco, Max, and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
From the 816, the KFC pot pie is pretty good. Take your word on it.
Haven't had that one yet.
Haven't had KFC. I couldn't tell you last time. I'm sure that brown gravy still does it for a lot of people.
I mean, I couldn't tell you the last. I mean, I've had like the coleslaw and like mashed potatoes every once in a while, but like I'm not a fried chicken guy.
Burger King KFC. Couldn't tell you last. I mean, Clinton was probably still in office last time I had it.
I took my wife to Burger King for her birthday last year.
Did you say she could have it her way?
No. So I put a crown on her and I said, I'm taking you to Burger King because you're my queen. And then she was going to take me to Dairy Queen for my birthday and put a crown on me and say I was her king, but she forgot!
But it's Dairy Queen.
Right, and it's Burger King. Uh-huh. And I took her there, and she was my queen. Oh, and then it, she was going to take me to Dairy Queen where I was going to be her king.
Got it.
Today's the 19th anniversary of their first date with my wife, too.
Damn, so you had a first date, then birthday, all like in the same. Dude, wow, it was, you set yourself up for failure.
I did, and that's why like it's so bizarre because we started dating on this day 19 years ago. Shout out Brio on the Plaza. That was our first date. And then like the next day or two, I went to Detroit for the Super Bowl. So I didn't see her after that. Then it was her birthday. And then we really weren't dating. And then it was Valentine's Day. And so I'm like, what do I do here? You know, it's not a great situation. Like, don't start dating anybody this week or next week. Wait till the 14th, you know, passes, and then you can start dating somebody. But like, what do I do? So I called like 2 or 3 o'clock that afternoon and said, do you want to go out to dinner? And she said, yes. I said, good, because if you said no, I never was going to call you again. And here we are 19 years later.
My dad hit the trifecta with my stepmother. He, their anniversary, her birthday, and Mother's Day, all in the same month.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a tough
That's
May.
A lot.
It's a tough May, man. She loves it. Like,
okay, there's...
Of course she does.
There's a couple of ways to look at that, right? You can either look at that and say that's bad.
Oh, great googly moogly.
Yeah, they painted refs in the end zone instead of chefs. Yeah. It's just really funny, actually. I mean, we were inside their heads so bad. There's some way to look at that. You're either done all at once, or you're like, oh, May, you dread May, because it's like all these things that stack up. Yeah. But for me, it's like, it's Christmas, it's her birthday, it's our like time we first started dating, then it's Valentine's Day. Like, by February 15th, I'm spent.
Only by Wednesday morning, you're spent.
Yeah, usually it's Tuesday afternoon, too.
Championship game coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. There's a lot of people out there that want to hate the Chiefs.
What?
Can you give me a logical reasonable reason why you think people hate the Chiefs?
Because they win. That's the only answer.
Okay. Beat their team.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Not even that. It's just winning now because the Chiefs haven't beaten everybody in America's team.
And it's not necessarily it's not that they win, but I think it's also like how they win, right? Like they had the block field goal this year. That sorry son of a gun dropped the snap or snapped it the wrong time. Right. There's a foot or a toe. That's not their fault. They stop a guy on fourth down not once but twice. Ain't done. And then, you know, you look at those ways and it's like, they win
because they know how to win. They're a veteran team that has great leadership. They've been there before. They know how to win these games. That's the difference between them and everybody else. I mean, I hate to use the analogy of when push comes to shove and when all the chips are down, but that's what it is. They just know how to do it.
But the real reason why you should hate the Chiefs is because of who their general manager is. You should hate the Chiefs because of how much better Brett Veach is at his job than anybody else, right? There was a while, I think the funniest joke in the NFL for a while was they had Howie Roseman ahead of Brett Veach. That's funny. Brett Veach and this team, 7 consecutive years now.
Howie Roseman, what, all those Super Bowls that he's won with Philadelphia
as
GM.
Yeah, now he's built a roster, which I'll give him credit for, right? Like he took a chance on Jalen Hurts, and it worked so far. He went out and got Saquon Barkley, best move he's made in his entire career. But where I think you should hate the Chiefs is because in the NFL, we always talk about this magical window, this window of opportunity is what they call it. And Brett Veach has blown those windows out and put a retractable garage door that you see at really nice bars, right?
Where you can, a nice summer day, you roll up that garage door.
And you can do whatever you want with it. It's massive. It's huge.
Breeze is flowing through.
Perfect. There's no end in sight where you can enjoy that. And that's where I think it all starts. Because Brett Veach is a silent assassin, right? He's like Batman. He's here, then he's gone. He could walk the streets and you wouldn't even know where he's at. He just kind of fits in. Like, there were times where he'd come to the restaurant I worked at and I'd be like, that's Brett Veach. I'm like, he's sitting right there. Not going to bother him, obviously. And everybody else would be like, yeah, I got table 20. Really nice people. And I like would walk by. I was like, that's because I was the general manager for the Chiefs. Who, that guy? Oh, he's already gone. Yeah, you didn't know it was him. But then he goes through the draft and the way that he can, like, kind of methodically draft a year in advance. Like, you look at every year the Chiefs have had a problem, right? The year they lose in the Super Bowl, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they don't have an offensive line. They go get Tooney, they draft Creed, they draft Trey. That line has been one of the best offensive lines the last 3 years. The interior of that line, zero sacks allowed this season. Mm-hmm. You look at when they didn't have any receivers. They had Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore. Now they have Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, went in the offseason and got DeAndre Hopkins, or in the season, got DeAndre Hopkins, Juju Smith-Schuster to patch that. Signed Hollywood Brown. Obviously got hurt, but still the idea was to go out there and get some sure hands and veterans. They've done that. You look at when the defense was the cause of concern in the first year that Mahomes was in the starting role.
They fired everybody.
Got him out of there. Sutton's
literally
gone.
Fired everybody.
Brings in Spags, talks to Andy about it, brings in Tyrann Mathieu, changes the entire attitude of the defense.
Yeah.
Right? And you look at what he's done, and then you put all that together, and I think the cherry on top, and I think the one thing that Brett Veach's career has solely been great for is the fact that you took one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in football. You traded him. You got draft picks. And those draft picks now are 8-0 in the playoffs, have won 2 Super Bowls, and are a key factor to your team. Those picks include McDuffie and Karlaftis. Brett Veach has taken the window that is 3 to 4 years and has completely shattered it and made it his own retractable garage door window because there is no end in sight because he's proven to you now, paid your quarterback, traded your number one wide receiver, drafted youth, signed these guys, found Rice, found Worthy. I mean, didn't really find Worthy. Worthy was just basically given to you. Thanks, Buffalo. And
wouldn't that be great if Worthy is the difference maker in the game this weekend, right?
Don't you forget that take. Because Friday's going to be here before you know it.
You know, are going to have these big things. But I think it goes further than Brett Veach, though, Dusty. I think it really does go back to Andy Reid. And I'll work Clark Hunt in a second because what we're seeing right now is Camelot here in Kansas City. I don't think anybody would argue that right now. This is the NFL's Camelot. This is sports Camelot right now here in Kansas City. And Brett Veach was a cheeseburger runner back in the days of Philadelphia. Like, literally, go get Andy cheeseburgers. Him and Nagy would get in the car at midnight, go run to the McDonald's, grab cheeseburgers, get the dry cleaning, go back to
that
the
used
office.
To be me
right?
For you and clean.
That's exactly right.
Go get my water.
Yeah, go do this. No, I'd never do
that.
No. Hey, want a wheatgrass shake? Hey.
go but, start my car, nerd.
No, nobody ever did that to you, did
no,
they?
Oh, God,
because
no.
I know. Yeah, I wouldn't
be surprised.
No.
I did have to go get Chick-fil-A for that fatty.
Oh, God. I went to Chick-fil-A yesterday. Here's another.
The salad. I'm trying to lose weight, but get a side of nuggets. I said, why do you want nuggets? Did I ask?
Okay.
And a large diet Coke.
That's right. You always got to have the large diet. So I went to Chick-fil-A yesterday with my friend Richard. He's like, you want me for? Yeah, sure. If we go to Chick-fil-A, God. The parking lot's a mess. I go, oh, holiday. Kids are off school.
Yeah, your text was hilarious last night.
Stay away from Chick-fil-A when school is out because every kid and every chick, a mob scene. Great for them. Great business that they do, right? They do an amazing job. And so I give Andy Reid a lot of credit because as this guy was running for cheeseburgers back in the day in Philly, he was looking at him and you know, following him along and giving him tasks, and he was accomplishing all that stuff. And when it was time to get rid of a really good general manager who had some shortcomings, obviously, with managing the cap, they promoted Brett Veach. And at that time, I don't think anybody knew who Brett Veach was. Like, what are we doing here? You know, what are we promoting? Who's this guy? Just going to be another yes man for Andy. And boy, were we all wrong about that. I mean, Andy Reid saw in Brett Veach and gave him that opportunity. And that goes back to being the head coach and the leader of an organization. And that's why we're very, very fortunate, lucky, and spoiled to have Andy Reid, because Andy Reid has the self-esteem and the clout to go to Clark Hunt and say, this is going to be our next general manager. He's the right guy for the job. And Clark's like, I don't even know who that is. And Andy's like, trust me on this one. And we're going to hire this guy. We're going to make him our GM and we're going to win. And then he's going to go out there and he's going to make these draft picks over the next 10 years that you may roll your eyes at and not understand about. Mm-hmm. But there's a method to this madness. And you can only do that if you have ownership that's willing to buy in And if you have a confident head coach who believes in his own ability and is comfortable in his own skin, and there aren't many of those guys out there, you're not going to see a guy like Ben Johnson, for example, switch general managers from a guy like John Dorsey, who did a really nice job, to an unknown in Brett Veach. It's just not going to happen. But Andy Reid is comfortable in his skin. He's got that self-confidence. He was able to make that move, and it turned out best for this organization.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because one of the most random debates you'll have is that John Dorsey drafted Patrick Mahomes. He was the general manager.
Yes.
Like, he, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it was Veach that we know that went and did the research. And I think that's where you go back to the kid from Delaware. You know, he went to Andy Reid. He's like, hey, like, look at this video. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. And Andy Reid eventually goes, man, this guy, you know, he's got a knack for some talent. I'm going to, you know, keep this guy closer and closer to me. Obviously, I believe Nagy was his quarterback in college. Mm-hmm. They have that chemistry. They built that throughout this team and this franchise. And when you put all that together, man, like, I'm telling you, man, so many teams, what's the one question every team has when they find their quarterback? Okay, win early, because then it's going to cost you and you're going to have to start making some decisions. Not only did the Chiefs win early, they continue to win, and they're still winning, and we're in year 7, technically year 8, but year 7 is Patrick Mahomes being a starter, and he's already gotten the $500 million contract.
Right, and he probably should be getting more money, but you've also got an anomaly in Patrick Mahomes, and that's why when I continue to look at this game and there's people that have trepidation, Patrick Mahomes didn't take less money and go to a team-friendly contract to sit here and not three-peat. To not have the opportunity to go down in history. It matters to Patrick Mahomes. It matters to this organization. It matters to Clark Hunt. Think about that, man. If they win this game on Sunday and Clark is holding that trophy on the field in the stadium that his father invented, with that trophy going to their third straight Super Bowl, he can look up and go, Dad, look what we did, man. Like, it's legacy for everybody. Patrick Mahomes didn't take less money, didn't take a team-friendly contract to sit here and not go to three straight Super Bowls. And it's all coming together, and Sunday's going to be one hell of a party, man.
You and I had similar conversations yesterday about this game on Sunday. Again, that was Monday night. We still got a couple more days before we can really kind of juice it up for this game for Bills and Chiefs. But there seems to be a little bit of nerves that are equaling doubt, which is something as a formula I'm trying to put together for the rest of the week. The nerves that equal doubt is something that I don't understand with certain people that are fans of this team, because we had people over last night watching the national championship game. And I was like, you boys ready for Sunday? We're going to have the party here. We're going to do it like we do the last every time there's an AFC Championship game. We watch it here. And one of my buddies, Jeremy, goes, I don't feel good about Sunday. And I said, why? He goes, Buffalo, man. It's just, it feels like it's their time. And I said, why do you think it feels like it's their time? He goes, I don't know, man. Like, Allen, like, they kind of, you know, gutted their team. He's kind of been Superman. I was like, they still have to come to Kansas City and play the Chiefs, who went 15-2 and just want to get in the divisional round. And they've got the hill they've got to climb more than the Chiefs do.
They really do. I mean, Buffalo, you have to think, too, if they don't win this, then when, right? Like, if you're Buffalo, and I'm sure they've already...
Talk about windows.
Yeah, I thought it closed last year, and then Kadarius Toney lined up offsides. It really would be interesting to see where this Buffalo franchise is today if Kadarius Toney stayed onsides, because they weren't in the playoffs last year if Kadarius Toney stays onsides. It's a completely different
Chiefs
outcome.
Chiefs were the one seed, too. You wouldn't have ever played at Aramark Stadium.
I know. Yeah. I mean, you start peeling back the onion of that one play and how that changed everything and the fortunes of franchises, right? So I don't know where Buffalo would be if that didn't happen, but I had somebody at the J ask me about that the other day too. I'll shout you out, Mitch. He goes, man, like, if we lose to Buffalo, he said, I'll be okay with it because it's Josh Allen. He goes, I don't want to lose to Lamar, but if we lose to Josh Allen, it's kind of just their time. And I'm like, no. We can't have that defeatist attitude, right? We can't have the, oh, if we lose, no, we're not losing this football game, okay? We're the Chiefs. It's our stadium. It's history. Everything that this organization has worked for the last 7+ years with Patrick Mahomes is out there. When they win this game on Sunday, it will be the biggest win in the history of Arrowhead Stadium for what it means in historical context. And so that's why I look at that and say, no, we're not losing this game. No, it's not okay to lose this game to Josh Allen. It's time to go out there and put a bow on this historic run and go get that three-peat.
Mac, how do you feel about Sunday as of Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday morning?
Well, I guess I'm kind of confused sometimes by what you guys are meaning, because I think it's okay to have some doubts and be a little bit nervous or a little bit
I think doubt and nerve are two different things.
I think nervous is okay. Doubt no more. You can't have doubt anymore as a Chiefs fan. I don't want to hear about Lynn Elliott. I don't want to hear about John Harbaugh, John Elway. All of the crap that happened, we've superseded all of that. There should be no doubt walking into that stadium.
For sure. You're speaking to doubt as far as superstitions and choking. I'm speaking to doubt as playing another great football team and playing another great all-time level quarterback. That's the doubt that I'm speaking to, not the past of the Chiefs' misfortunes. That should all be done. And if anyone's bringing that up, they're insane.
I think that's where it stems from.
No, I think that, that's crazy. That's delusional at this point.
Yeah.
But to say that you have doubt based on how good this Bills team is and how great Josh Allen has been versus the Chiefs minus one game 3 years ago, I think it's okay to have some doubt. I think it's appropriate.
See, that's where I don't have doubt. I have nerves.
Nerves.
That's why every time they play Josh Allen, I'm like, this is the guy.
Yeah.
Right? This is the guy that's continuously been able to beat the Chiefs in the regular season.
Yes.
But like, that's where I have nerve. Doubt, I have no doubt. Like, there's, to me, I'm not like, that's not there. Like, this game, when it starts, I will sit on the edge of my chair, promise you, coaster, Miller Lite, arms crossed, just heavy breathing. Like, okay. I got to tell Bob, I was like, if I had a lamp and I could rub the lamp and the genie said, your first wish, you have to make it right now, I'd say, give me a blowout Chiefs win 38-10.
Yes.
Wouldn't care. Because that would calm everything.
Oh, I think a blowout either way is better than going down to the wire. You know, like that Tampa Super Bowl. If you're going to lose, you knew it was done at halftime. You go home.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I do think it's going to come down to this game may go to overtime, guys. This may be an all-time classic.
I mean, and I think that's why Buffalo and Kansas City are, when it comes to fan bases, are so respected. Because they know, as Buffalo fans, what Kansas City has done to them. And Kansas City, I think, does know that when it comes to roster v. roster, that is the one that could actually derail it, right? Like, that's the team. But, like, in the playoffs, obviously, Josh Allen, 0-3 against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Hasn't beat him yet. No quarterback's ever lost four straight matchups to a team in the playoffs or another quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. So the nerve is there because there's just so many ways that Josh Allen can beat you, right? And it's like every time they get the ball, if it's 3rd and 5, I'm like,
well, not for you, Josh Allen. I'll show you my Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. And I think that's where the nerve comes in because it's like, you know, the doubt to me is not there because if Josh Allen goes down the field, 8 plays, 6 minutes, touchdown, I know that the Chiefs can see that and be like, okay, I'll raise your 8 plays, 6 minutes, and we'll go 10 plays, 9 minutes, and we'll get the touchdown as well. Now it's back to you.
Do you think Buffalo has the same sort of confidence in Josh Allen late in the game as we do with Patrick Mahomes? Because what you're saying, okay, Buffalo scores late and we get the ball back. I know we're going down the field
against
and we're scoring.
Every team except Kansas City.
Except Kansas City.
Yeah.
I think it's every team. Because I think the one thing that Buffalo fans, if they take the non-bias out of it this week, I think the one thing they'll say, I hope Josh Allen doesn't try to do too much, which might sound erroneous, might sound idiocracy in your head that I'm saying this. But, like, if Josh Allen tries to do too much, he'll make some sort of mistake that he shouldn't make because that's what he did in the past, and that's what we're not seeing Josh Allen do
now.
Well,
that's what Lamar did on Sunday.
And they lost.
You know, you look at the quarterbacks who tried to do too much and tried to play hero.
Mark Andrews tried to do too much.
Yeah, on one play.
If he just goes straight and gets 10 more yards and goes down, that fumble never happens.
Never happens.
We might have a different outcome.
Absolutely.
He might not be worried about catching that ball in the 2-point conversion, which now somebody said it's Lamar's fault that he didn't catch that because he threw a bad pass.
What are we doing here?
Could the throw have been better? Sure. Should he have caught it? Absolutely.
It was in his stomach.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hands, stomach, knees, and toes.
You know, come on, man.
Now, in a perfect world, you'd like to put it up around his eyes where he's not falling backwards and all that, but, you know, a little in that throw and the throw to, and I'm a Lamar fan, and I'm more critical than anybody of Lamar, and that throw to Derrick Henry in the flat, man.
And the reason I will say you shouldn't have doubt in this game is because there are massive players on this Chiefs roster that did not play in the week 11.
And there's massive players on this Chiefs roster who also know what's at stake, and over their dead bodies are we not winning this game on Sunday.
You want to know if I had a Tuesday hot take who I know is going to win this game? Who gets the ball at half? Mm. If the Chiefs get the ball at half, they'll win the game.
Coming out of the second half?
Mm-hmm.
So they got to lose. Does anybody take the ball anymore?
No.
Was the last time somebody received?
I mean, Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, at the start of a game. Nobody does that anymore.
Like, I know we took the opening kick all the way down, didn't get a touchdown, but every time the Chiefs don't get the coin toss, I'm always like, damn it. I always want to have the ball, and I know that's not.
Oh, I do too. You know, I love the twofer. Score at the end, get the ball to start the second. We saw
it dictates the entire game. Oh, one coin flip. That's what's so ironic about football is that you can say that this game is technically a coin flip game when you say who's going to win. I don't know. Flip a coin. Well, that coin that you flip is dependent at the very start of the game of who gets the ball first and who doesn't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hate receiving to start a game. Hate it. Always have. Hate receiving to start a game. Everybody does
because
that. That's why everybody defers.
The only way you can flip that situation is if you go down and score and then you get a three and out and score again or you get an interception.
Yeah, that's right. You have to score twice and hold them, and that's not as easy to do as scoring halftime scoring. You don't have to hold them to anything. But I'm just concerned for a minute about like all of this narrative about the referees and if the NFL is going to hear it all week and try to go overboard and overcorrect what people view as an issue with them favoring the Chiefs, even though they don't, and the numbers will tell you they don't favor the Chiefs. I just don't want to see the referees swallow their whistle when they should have called the penalty on Mahomes or throw a flag when Chris Jones says hi to Josh Allen or something like that. Like, I just don't want the referees one way or the other to be a factor in this game. I don't want it to be a talking point.
Do we know who's officiating this game
yet?
Is it Jeffers?
No. I just watched a video on it. I can't remember his name now. Damn it.
Cleet Blakeman, is it?
It's not thin-lipped Hockley?
Yes. Cleet.
Is it Cleet Blakeman?
Yes.
I think the Chiefs are 7-0 and Cleet Blakeman refs are 8-0.
His name is Cleet Blakeman?
Well, I don't know because I know they're not 8-0 because the last game that he refereed with the Chiefs was Christmas Day last year. But he has not refereed a game this season of the Chiefs.
He hasn't?
That's the video I just watched from some idiotic Bills fan. The game's already over.
The Chiefs have also won 71% of their games since Andy Reid has taken over. It don't matter who's referee in the game. But,
this guy likes to throw roughing the passer calls. He likes to throw pass interference. So
how
get
do
ready
you
for
know?
That.
Are you researching refs?
Numbers,
if you are researching the referees, I would encourage you to get a hobby.
Yeah. His name is Cheat Blackman?
Cleet.
Cleet Blackman.
Blakeman.
Blakeman.
Mm-hmm. Blakeman. Yes, that was like
Cleet Blakeman.
That's it. Yeah.
Huh. What kind of car do you think a guy named Cleet Blakeman drives?
What do you think his real job is? I'm gonna guess a lawyer.
For like Chiefsaholic with a sleeve tattoo.
This guy's probably a good lawyer.
Cleet Blakeman. I feel like he drives like
Subaru.
I don't know.
If you know who the ref crew is and you're talking about that, just
well, that's the thing. I remember knowing who the ref was when they made their first call of a game. Yeah. Now people are like weeks out researching who the refs are going to be. I hope the Buffalo Bills are focused on Cleet Blakeman.
Should our poll question be this week, which one of us should go through the fiery table on Friday? Mac, Bob, or Dusty?
Oh, I volunteer.
Oh. You just elbow drop?
Oh, dude, I would love to do that. You mean a fireball? Absolutely.
This is for all the gigolos and gigolettes out there. Whoop, whoop. You seen that guy do those videos?
No.
I'll show it to you after this. Coming those up on the other side. Yeah, we'll wrap this show up here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
And if you give me that gooey butter cake, you never know, Dusty.
I mean, we could bring the question up on the show, or we could not. But as, of course, I was out here, you know, talking to the guys in the bullpen, bringing up random questions. Stay focused, Dusty. So I want to bring up this question, though. Like, what do you do during the week when there's this massive of a game? Do you kind of, like, block out the noise after you leave here? Do you go, you know, other things besides sports? Or do you try to find the other storyline or the other topic?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
I always listen to radio stations on the Odyssey app when I get out of here that are not in our market to hear what other people are saying. And, you know, this is a great week for the Odyssey app to be able to listen to our folks over at WGR in Buffalo and hear what they're saying about this game. And so I like to tune into that. I like to listen to a little Boomer Esiason. Philly obviously has storylines all over the place. You know, you can listen in to see what they're thinking about their game against the Commodes on Sunday. So there's a lot of bouncing around you can do. And then, you know, some music when I'm at the gym working out or whatever the case may be.
Love to see it. I don't know. I'm kind of like you. Like, I think, you know, I'll go watch, you know, the national message because now it's just like there's one game on each division. So it's not like there's, oh, I got to hear about Washington and Detroit. Plus, I got to hear about Philadelphia and the Rams. I got to hear about Buffalo and Baltimore, Kansas City. And, you know, it's like No, now it's your team and the other guys.
The only thing I just don't want to hear about is the low hanging fruit stuff of the referees. Like, they've got to evolve past that and move forward and talk more about the legacy of Patrick Mahomes that's at stake. The legacy of Andy Reid. The legacy of Brett Veach. How many general managers have won 4 Super Bowls? Does anybody know? Brad G over at the Chiefs, I know you're listening. How many general managers have won 4 Super Bowls in their time as a GM? I bet you like Brett Veach.
Is that dude? Well, I guess does Belichick count?
See, I don't know.
Because he was the GM.
Yeah, that's the questionable
the gray
one.
Matter.
He only won, I think, 2 as really the GM.
Who's that?
Bill Belichick. I don't think.
Well, who was the GM? Like, are you counting Pioli as the GM back in those days? I mean, like, no shot at Scott, but I'm asking, was he that guy?
Well, Google's telling me no general managers won 4. Trying to see.
Huh.
And if they win this one, it'd be 3 in a row, and that'd be 4 for Brett Veach.
It's like Polian's like widely regarded as maybe the best GM, and he went to 4 straight, didn't win any.
Mm.
That's right.
Yeah, not one. He's a Hall of Famer.
Did he win in Indianapolis, though?
Because he drafted Peyton.
But only one.
Yeah, one.
Only one. I mean, I'm trying to think of the teams off the top of my head that I know won multiple ones. The Giants won 2 in 2 different eras, 2 different general managers, 3 different general managers.
Mm-hmm.
New England, I don't know who the hell their general manager was.
Who was the GM in San Fran when they
that, that
that's
Carmen,
3?
Was it their guy named Carmen Policy? Was he the GM? Yeah. Maybe he is the guy that you look
Montana
at.
Montana won 3 there?
Yeah. I think Carmen Policy may have been the GM. He may be the guy that they credit as the general manager of those teams.
Okay, I can look that up.
Pittsburgh in those 4 years, I don't know, they probably had some guy that Binkley knows.
Bobby Beathard's a big name that's brought up.
Bobby Beathard?
Beathard, yeah, here we go. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, see, Bobby Beathard, he was with the Redskins at the time. Is that
how it's spelled, Beathard, Beathard. Pronounced Beathard, but
Bobby Beathard on Tuesdays.
He was a part of teams that went to the Super Bowl 7 times, did win 4, but was not the general manager.
It doesn't count then. Yeah, as the GM. All this talk about Mahomes and Andy Reid and legacy-wise, like, Brett Veach, you have the opportunity to probably do something nobody has ever done.
So if they win a Super Bowl this year, he's just the greatest GM ever.
Well, I would think you'd have to say that.
Yeah, he's already in the Hall of Fame, and if he does this, boom. Done.
I mean, I think honestly,
I didn't know GM's got in the Hall of Fame. I guess I didn't either until this morning.
Like, they're contributors, I think, is what it goes as to the game. I think I don't know.
Veach will be in the Ring of Honor.
Well,
I mean, why not? Right? Of course.
When the new stadium when that new stadium gets on board, or however they decide to do it, you're gonna have to make that Ring of Honor bigger.
I've heard it's gonna be like a Hall of Honor.
Well, they have that, but I still like seeing the names out there. You know, I think that's still kind of cool.
It's monumental.
Yeah.
Like, you see that, you're like, oh, nice.
Right.
Yeah, God.
Because, I mean, how many are going up from this era? Mahomes.
Kelsey, Jones,
Andy, Veach.
McDuffie,
probably. Yeah. Butker.
Yeah.
George Karloftis, if he stays on this pace. Mm. He's gonna lead the team in playoff sacks.
I mean, and we're not even talking about maybe, I mean, I know he's not going to probably go up anytime soon, but Tyreek Hill eventually.
For sure.
You know, he's the greatest wide receiver in franchise history.
Butker, I don't know if you said
that. I said, Butker should go up there. I mean.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dudes that may end up being on that Ring of Honor. Like, you have to have a whole other deck to have the Ring of Honor names now of where it is. But, I mean, that's the underlying thing here. Brett Veach is so understated as the general manager that nobody's talking about, like, if they win this thing, Brett Veach becomes the greatest general manager in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
Unless somebody with the Packers won it 1,000 years ago that nobody knows.
Asking the question of how you get through the week until Sunday, somebody from the 816 says, come to work, tell my boss to F off, and listen to 96.5 The Fan until Sunday is how I get through the week.
Can you let me know how that goes for you on, like, Wednesday? Or the first time you tell them to do that, right?
Somebody says, is the stat still real that Andy hasn't lost twice to an opponent in the same year after first losing to them?
I don't know about that.
Cincinnati?
Sounds unlikely, but we can...
Did Cincinnati beat him in the regular season in the AFC Championship game? Is that wrong?
I think you're right.
Is that the last team to
do it? Because Patty hadn't beaten.
That's right. They lost in the regular season.
And Burrow. That was the whole thing. 0-3 versus Burrow. And then what happened since?
Somebody says, put some respect on James Winchester's name.
That's fair.
Ring of Honor.
I mean, seriously, man. Yeah. Like they were just showing on Good Morning Football the Giants San Francisco game from about 20 years ago in the playoffs where that long snapper Trey Junkin messed up and cost them the game. Like having a long snapper like James Winchester that you never have to think about is paramount to winning these games. Can you imagine these snaps going over a guy's heads or in the dirt or whatever during kickoffs or punt, or not kickoffs, but extra points and punts and field goals? Whew. We're lucky with him too.
Creed Humphrey's probably in the Ring of Honor.
I mean,
he's going to play here for his entire career, you'd think. He's Mahomes' battery mate.
Yeah.
Yep. I assume he's probably in the Ring of Honor.
Best center in the league.
And
hell, you might throw Joe Tooney up there if he's got three bowls with you.
You have to.
I mean, right? I mean, especially Trey Smith
season.
Wins three. Like, right. I mean, what if you just put up the era of the Chiefs? Like, this includes everybody.
Because,
you know, Andy Spags.
I mean, yeah, he's in there for sure. He could be a Hall of Fame coordinator.
Like, I don't even know that. Now, coordinators don't get into the Hall of Fame.
Which is stupid.
I don't know that they have any assistant coaches on that Ring of Honor, but I don't know that they've had any assistant coaches nearly with the resume that Steve Spagnuolo has put together here in Kansas City.
Ian Rapoport, Cowboys are expected to interview their own offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, for their vacant head coaching job today. Per me and Slater NFL. How about that? Per me. And Slater NFL. Well respected in the building, Schottenheimer has been an OC for more than a decade. Intriguing option to take the next step.
There is snow on the ground in New Orleans right now.
Oh yeah, I showed you the Louisiana.
I'm watching the French Quarter right now, Canal Street, where we're supposed to be in 2 weeks. Is Kurt Warner going to complain if it's snowing? And
I'm just scrolling through, and they just showed a picture. It's just Paige Sporanic. Just says hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I mean, yes, my name is Dusty Likens. I live in Lee Summit, Missouri. We're from 96.5 The Fan. If you're willing to go out to the Green Lady Lounge, please let me know. Will you be in New Orleans? I'd propose. What's the worst they're going to say? No?
It's probably the best they're going to say,
yeah,
quite honestly.
I was
going
to say, yeah.
Security would be the worst that they could say.
What a lady.
So no coach get hired yet, though? I mean, Dallas, good Lord. I mean,
the Los Angeles Dodgers, who already have folks screaming about their payroll, have reached a tentative agreement with free agent closer Kirby Yates. Pending a physical, the deal comes on the heels of signing Tanner Scott to a 4-year, $72 million contract. It continues to happen in L.A. You can continue to make good things happen by going to do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or even their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe. Talk to you tomorrow. Coming up next, it's Cody, Gold, and Drew from 10 to 2 on 96.5 The Fan.